Women have far scarier nightmares than men, dreams so intense we can describe them in terrifying detail when we jolt awake. I'm Dr. Katherine Albrecht, and I'll tell you how sleep experts explain this in a moment.
Privacy is under attack. When you give up data about yourself, you'll never get it back again. And once your privacy is gone, you'll find your freedoms will start to vanish too. So protect your rights, say no to surveillance, and keep your information to yourself. Privacy, it's worth hanging on to. This public service announcement is brought to you by StartPage.com, the private search engine alternative to Google, Yahoo, and Bing. Start over with StartPage.
A giant monster is gaining on you. Its jaws are opening. You see its fangs, then bam, you're awake. Phew, not to worry. You just had one of those Friday the 13th nightmares again. Nightmares. Everybody gets them. But one study in England finds that women have twice as many terrifying dreams as men. Why the disparity? Scientists say it's because women have trouble switching off emotions when they go to bed. For them, dreaming is a subconscious way to prepare for bad stuff ahead. So guys, the next time your wife wakes up in a cold sweat, cut her some slack. A little extra TLC might be in order. I'm Dr. Katherine Albrecht. More news and information at KatherineAlbrecht.com. Finally, some nuclear news to cheer. The most powerful weapon in our atomic arsenal has been dismantled. I'm Dr. Katherine Albrecht, and I'll tell you about the last days of a frightening bomb they called the B-53 in a moment.
Privacy is under attack. When you give up data about yourself, you'll never get it back again. And once your privacy is gone, you'll find your freedoms will start to vanish too. So protect your rights, say no to surveillance, and keep your information to yourself. Privacy, it's worth hanging on to. This public service announcement is brought to you by StartPage.com, the private search engine alternative to Google, Yahoo, and Bing. Start over with StartPage.
Here's news that could make even a cold warrior smile. The aging B-53, the last of our nation's most powerful nuclear bombs, has been quietly taken apart at a plant near Amarillo, Texas. Dating way back to 1962, the Cold War and the Cuban Missile Crisis, the B-53 was the size of a minivan and weighed 10,000 pounds. This ancient nuke was 600 times more powerful than the one dropped on Hiroshima, which killed at least 140,000 people. Now the biggest nuke we've got is the B-83, a similar killer now pushing 30 years old. Will it take us half a century to retire that one? Let's hope not. I'm Dr. Katherine Albrecht. More news and information at KatherineAlbrecht.com.
Hi, welcome back. You're with Truth News Radio. Well, in the second hour of today's show, it is my great pleasure to have as our guest for the full hour, Ian R. Crane, who has been on Truth News Radio before. He's a former oil field executive and now lectures, writes and broadcasts on the geopolitical webs that are being spun around the world, with particular focus on the US hegemony and the New World Order agenda for control of global resources. And while he's in Australia, he's actually going to be speaking for a number of anti-CSG events around Australia. CSG, of course, coal seam gas, sometimes known as fracking, which Ian has taken an interest in, and will be speaking at a number of some of those protest events which are occurring with increasing frequency in Australia due to the catastrophic effects of coal seam gas mining on rural communities. Ian is extremely well-versed in a number of other topics. We've had a great discussion last time he was on the show. So let me just say a warm welcome to Ian Crane.
Hey, Harrywood. Thanks very much for the invitation.
Yeah, no, it's great to speak to you again. So, Ian, let's kick off by having a little chat about what you're planning to do in your Australia and New Zealand tour.
It's actually, I didn't expect to be coming back to Australia quite so soon after my last tour. But while I was in Australia and New Zealand at the back end of 2011, I actually met up with the editor of Uncensored magazine, a guy called John Eisen.
Okay.
And we had an interesting discussion, and he introduced me to his publication, which I must confess that I'd never seen before. And when I was leaving, he gave me a couple of back issues to read on the plane on the way back. And as I was reading them, I realized just what an outstanding publication this was. And so after I got back to the UK, I contacted him and suggested that, you know, we needed really to find a way where we could get this magazine into the UK. So to cut a long story short, in the beginning of 2012, I became the publisher of Uncensored magazine and its sister publication, the New Zealand Journal of Natural Medicine, in the UK and Europe.
Oh, excellent.
And it was at John's suggestion that I come back to Australia and New Zealand. And the moment that I suggested that I was interested in coming back, a number of potential promoters made themselves known. So, yeah, we have quite a substantial tour lined up.
Yeah, fantastic. And, yeah, that magazine, of course, I've seen it quite a few times. It covers a wide range of issues. It's very well produced. And so it's very interesting to see that that's going to be now sold in the UK. And as I understand it, the magazine is a subscription only, or does it actually sell in shops?
In Australia and New Zealand, it's actually sold in the shops as well. Although, of course, to guarantee receiving it as it comes off the press, then subscription is certainly the best option. But in the UK, at the moment, it's only available via a subscription. That's mainly because the UK magazine market is absolutely sewn up by the sort of popular publications, of course, most of which are aimed at the teen market or the female market. But they're tied up by a few publication houses, one of the primary ones being Dennis Publishing.
Right.
And so to break into the shops in the UK requires a substantial amount of capital investment. And even then, it's a big risk, because obviously it means that we have to pay the distributor and pay for the much larger print run. And of course, if the magazine doesn't sell, then all of that's lost. Now, you know, what we're trying to do right now is we're working a strategy where we're going to go with a couple of smaller distributors. So what we're hoping is that the publication will get into the stores during the first half of 2013. But yeah, as you say, it's an outstanding magazine. I have absolutely zero editorial input, although I do contribute a column. But, you know, the work that John has done over the last 6 years in bringing together just 100 pages of information each quarter that you're not going to be seeing in the mainstream media anytime soon. And, of course, the whole ethos of the publication is to encourage people to think for themselves. And, you know, we find ourselves at a very interesting time in history when the mainstream media, of course, is doing its level best to try and perpetrate the official mythology about many events, and tries to keep people locked into a very, very narrow construct of a belief system, whilst the alternative media, and of course Nexus is should also be mentioned, because it's my opinion that Nexus and Uncensored are extremely complementary publications. They come at things from different angles, and although there's some similar material covered, it's generally different aspects. So, this is the purpose of what we're trying to do, and it's the purpose of what we're trying to do with the tour, which is, you know, for the likes of myself and yourself, Harrywood, you know, we have the luxury to spend a significant amount of time looking at events as they're unfolding and doing a little bit of research into the underlying agenda. And, of course, the vast majority of people are locked into their daily routine, their family life, their work life, and they just don't get the opportunity to look at this, even if they have the inclination. So what I hope that we can do with the events that we're going to be hosting is to stimulate people and introduce them to some of the aspects that they're not going to see in the mainstream media, and then hopefully encourage them to go out and research this stuff a little bit more for themselves.
Yeah, absolutely. And the fact that you see a commercial opportunity in selling the magazine in the UK indicates that there really is a growing demand for this type of information. I've increasingly been saying that the mainstream media is really... The thing that really differentiates the mainstream media from what we're doing is that we are actually interested in the truth. And, you know, of course, we often get it wrong. And I don't by any means, you know, think that the alternative viewpoints that are represented in magazines like you're talking about and this radio show, that we're always correct. We try to be
Absolutely.
Correct, and we do our best to adhere to good quality research. But what I've found with the mainstream media is that they actually don't seem to really care about the truth at all. I mean, it is quite incredible, but you have to face it in the end, don't you, that what they're interested in is their own agenda, and they're interested in seeing if they can manipulate people in certain directions when it suits them for particular reasons. Now, sometimes that does involve telling the truth, but it's only incidentally. Like, they're not committed to telling the truth. They're committed to pursuing their own agenda. But, you know, to get into the mindset of what it is to be one of these people who works within that environment is something that I can't even imagine, the kind of mental denial, a state of denial that you must be in order to work for the mainstream media. I was recently watching an interview with Amber Lyon, who's a Emmy Award-winning CNN reporter who's turned whistleblower. And, you know, she was describing how CNN was basically engaging in completely deceptive news broadcasts that were actually essentially paid infomercials from a number of Middle Eastern countries, including Bahrain, and that everyone is actually colluding in this, and that it actually they're making money out of it, but they're also promoting propaganda, and the propaganda all dovetails nicely with the industrial military complex, and the framework, the mental conditioning of the people who work and accept this just literally boggles my mind.
Well, I can understand it to some extent because Harrywood, you know, up until I saw what I saw in Kuwait in 1991, I tended to shut my mind to the broader geopolitical agenda, and the attraction for keeping my mind closed was the salary and the lifestyle. And it was amazing how much influence that had.
Yeah.
And, you know, what I witnessed firsthand in Kuwait in 1991, and although I was a slow learner, because it wasn't something that I embraced immediately, and it took me, well, 7 years, really, to integrate the experience before I finally made my my decision to, you know, get out of the oil industry. But I absolutely understand the power of the salary and the fact that, you know, for a lot of people, they just cannot imagine life without the salary. So consequently, they bring across the psychological slide which prevents them from actually even seeing the glaringly obvious. But within the media, certainly one of the things that we're seeing in the UK is that the old style investigative journalist really doesn't exist anymore. And that the vast majority of people who work in the mainstream media are simply cut and paste merchants. And they're cutting and pasting from the likes of Reuters and API. And like you said, you know, a lot of the information that is fed into the main news distribution houses simply comes from effectively propaganda departments of respective governments. And, you know, whether that's the US, the UK, or wherever else, I mean, governments recognize the absolute importance of the role of the mainstream media in keeping people locked into their particular version of reality. And actually, I mean, what's very, very interesting, of course, is that the world over, the mainstream media is losing circulation. I mean, you know, less people are buying newspapers. And consequently, in the UK, we have this phenomena of free newspapers for commuters in every major city in the country.
Yeah.
and on the mainstream TV stations like the BBC, then you know people are just not watching it. And that's actually helped. I mean, just as it happens, last night, the BBC broadcast a program called Conspiracy Files Road Trip. Now, as it happens, You've seen it, okay?
Yeah.
Well, I and a number of others were invited to participate in that earlier this year. And needless to say, you know, we all declined because we know exactly what the BBC game plan is, and that is to literally try and lure us into participating in these programs, which they will then edit to obviously not necessarily show us in the best possible light. And in fact, I mean, I think that there is the very good possibility that you know, for anybody who is actually still capable of any independent critical thought, they'll actually look at these programs and see it for what it is, which is just blatant propaganda.
Look, Ian, I saw the Conspiracy Road Trip last year, shortly after it came out, and I was...
Well, that was the 9/11 one, though.
Oh, is there a new one? Is this actually a new one?
Yeah, this one was about the London bombing. This was the 7/7 road trip.
Oh, so they're kind of making it a series now. That's incredible.
In fact, I mean, next week is creationism and the week after that is UFOs. So, you know, what they're obviously trying to do is reinforce this this construct. And, of course, the purpose of linking things like creationism, UFOs and the London bombings is basically to present anybody who basically believes in these things as a raving loony.
Sure. Okay, we're just going to break. I'd like to get actually more into that. I do find those BBC productions absolutely fascinating. You're with Truth News Radio Australia. Stay right with us. We'll be back with Ian Crane after this break.
Is a serial hypocrite who lobbied for Freddie Mac before the housing crisis and for the individual mandate before Obamacare. Another, a counterfeit conservative who opposes right to work, massively increased spending, and funded Planned Parenthood. Finally, a flip-flopper who's been on all sides, supported TARP bailouts, and provided the blueprint for Obamacare. Three men. One vision, more big government, more mandates, less freedom. One man stands apart, ready to deliver real change, voting against every tax increase and every unbalanced budget every time. A real plan to cut $1 trillion year one and to balance the budget in three. Pro-life, pro-right to work, guided by faith and principle. Ron Paul, the one who will restore America now.
I'm Ron Paul, and I approve this message.
Are you being harassed by debt collectors with phone calls, letters, or even lawsuits? Stop debt collectors now with the Michael Maris Proven Method. Michael Maris has won 6 cases in federal court against debt collectors, and now you can win too. You'll get step-by-step instructions in plain English on how to win in court using federal civil rights statutes, what to do when contacted by phone, mail, or court summons, how to answer letters and phone calls, how to get debt collectors out of your credit report, how to turn the financial tables on them and make them pay you to go away. The Michael Maris Proven Method is the solution for how to stop debt collectors. Personal consultation is available as well. For more information, please visit ruleoflawradio.com and click on the blue Michael Maris banner or email michaelmaris@yahoo.com. That's ruleoflawradio.com or email michaelmiras@yahoo.com to learn how to stop debt collectors now.
Are you getting fed up with all the disinformation, deception, spin, propaganda, half-truths and downright lies in mainstream news? Looking for something different? Visit Truth News Radio Australia, www.truthnews.com.au, and may the truth set you free.
No matter where you go in your life, at some point you're going to need somebody to stand by you. Oh, yeah.
Welcome back. You're listening to Truth News Radio Australia. My name is Harrowood Fenton. It's great to be with you today. Of course, you can find Truth News Radio at truthnews.com.au, and you can get our podcasts and you can listen to the live show if you click on the links. My guest today is Ian Crane, who's a former oil executive and now a lecturer on many topics that are important that are hidden from the mainstream. And we actually been talking about a few things before the break there. We were just mentioning the BBC conspiracy road trip. And of course, I saw the first one, which was the 9/11 one. And, you know, Ian, that was one of the most ridiculous programs I think I've ever seen. It had so many furphies in it. It had so many straw man arguments in it that it really... The only effect that could have had on a thinking person was to make them think that there must be something to these conspiracies. It was that ridiculous. It was like the opposite of what they were trying to achieve. And I'm slightly amazed that they decided to then go and do a second one in the same style on the London Tube bombings.
Well, I think it's an indication, actually, of how desperate they're becoming. I mean, almost exactly a year ago, I was invited to participate in a public debate with three government-sponsored individuals, or one was an organization, the other two were academics. One was a guy called Professor Christopher French, the other one was Dr. Karen Douglas, and the other one was two of the guys who come from an organization called Demos. Now, each of these individuals, they receive government funds to research the proliferation of what they call conspiracy theory.
Right.
And in fact, the Demos organization, their brief is to prevent the rise of conspiracy theories amongst students in schools and colleges. And in fact, the recordings, the video recordings of these presentations, including my presentation, is available on YouTube. Now, the reality is that, you know, what they're trying to do is fight a rearguard action. I mean, I actually feel sorry for, you know, some of these individuals because, you know, I get the feeling that they're actually locked in because of the funding. So regardless of what they think on a personal level, the funding is so attractive that they'll actually prostitute their own intellect to perpetrate the government version of reality. Because in the Q&A session in that event, I mean, one of those individuals pretty much lost it. And I almost grabbed the microphone and had to ask if anybody in the audience had some Xanax.
Really?
You know, and what we were basically witnessing was somebody who was in turmoil because they were finding it very, very difficult to maintain their particular worldview when the physical evidence did not support that worldview. And this is why I think we're getting these types of programs now and why they're actually desperate to get the likes of, you know, myself and the other researchers that have been at the forefront of promoting, not the alternative view, because I'm not going to suggest that I know what happened that day, you know, but I can present the evidence that is in the public domain and demonstrate categorically that the evidence that is in the public domain does not in any way, shape or form support the official version of events.
Absolutely.
And that's why, you know, the government narrative had to be changed three times because of independent researchers managing to get the mainstream media to acknowledge that the evidence did not support the government narrative.
And, you know, what was painfully obvious with the BBC production was that it was an attempt to project a point of view, and it was an attempt to influence people, you might say brainwash. I mean, they probably wouldn't use that word, but they were quite clearly deliberately trying to influence this group of people and thereby influence the audience in ways that were really underhanded. And it was just so obvious that they were doing that, that you would think that anyone with any journalistic integrity would refuse to be associated with it. I mean, they hired a comedian to be the kind of the host of the trip, and he was obviously being paid, and he was obviously cynical and didn't come across as someone who had any real deep passion about anything. He was a comedian, and this is the guy that kind of was the main host of the show. And
well, they obviously thought he did a good job because it was the same comedian they used in the show that they broadcast last night.
Right, right. And you know, there was this celebrated conversion of one Charlie Veach during that show. I mean, what's your take on that? I mean, you know, I thought he was a pretty interesting guy, and I watched a lot of his videos before that whole, you know, debacle. And I was just totally underwhelmed by what he did. And it seems to me that he has just lost any kind of credibility he ever had. What's your take on it?
Well, he has certainly lost any credibility that he ever had. I mean, that's a given.
Yeah.
And, you know, prior to that show, I mean, he was receiving, you know, quite substantial funding for his activities. And I understand that funding, you know, basically sort of dried up in a heartbeat.
Yeah.
Not surprisingly, because, you know, what happened on the show was the guy was shown this outrageous explanation using Lego.
Yeah.
As to why the towers collapsed in the way they did. And, you know, he seems to have had some kind of Lego epiphany. And, you know, to this day, he is not able to articulate in any way, shape or form. And, of course, as you know, he is a very articulate individual.
Yes, indeed.
But he is not able to articulate what it was and to the best of my knowledge, he hasn't been able to convince a single person that the events of 9/11 were perpetrated as per the official version of events. So, you know, that is a real enigma. I mean, there's a lot of suggestion that, you know, he was set up to fulfill that role a long time before, because there is also other evidence that has come into the public domain. I mean, recently we had a situation where the Metropolitan Riot Police unfortunately killed a guy due to using excessive force on him.
Yep.
And in fact, the policeman, although he was found not guilty of manslaughter, he has effectively been discharged from the police. Now, initially, Charlie Veach claimed that he helped this guy. He was there with his megaphone. He was protesting, and that he called for a halt to the rioting or whatever. Anyway, there's another video where he claims that he happened to just be passing by and he was just a neutral observer on his way home from a day's work at the bank. So,
right.
You know, there is clearly a lot of things that don't add up about Mr. Veach.
Fascinating, yeah. I mean, it just adds to the impression that that the powers that be will go to these ridiculous lengths. I mean, whether he was co-opted from the beginning, whether the whole thing was kind of a fake setup, I don't know. And it's not even that important. It's just that we have to deconstruct these events. We have to deconstruct what the powers that be are actually trying to do. And it's actually part of, I think, coming to a deeper understanding of what we're up against. Do you agree that when we see the degree of deception and sort of subversive activities that large organisations like the BBC are willing to go to, we realise that, you know, that we're in a real struggle here. And we are just going to break. Hopefully you can respond to that when we come back from the break. You're with Truth News Radio Australia. It is excellent to be talking to you today. I'm with Ian Crane, and we'll be returning right after this break for the second half of the hour. Thanks.
Oklahoma City, 1995, will change forever the way you look at the true nature of terrorism.
Based on the damage pattern to the building, what the government says is impossible.
The grand jury did not want to hear anything I had to say.
The decision was made not to pursue any more of those individuals.
Some of these columns were ripped up, shredded, tossed around.
The people that did the things they did knew doggone well what they were doing.
Expose the cover-up now at InnobleEye.com.
HempUSA.org has a revolutionary wonder food for detoxing the body and rebuilding the immune system.
Microplant powder can help unclog arteries and soften heart valves while removing heavy metals, virus, fungus, bacteria, and parasites. Plus, it cleans and purifies the blood, lungs, stomach, and colon. Keep your body clean with microplant powder. Visit us at HempUSA.org or call 908-691-2608 today.
It is so enlightening to listen to 90.1 FM, but finding things on the internet isn't so easy, and neither is finding like-minded people to share it with.
Oh, well, I guess you haven't heard of Brave New Books then.
Brave New Books?
Yes, Brave New Books has all the books and DVDs you're looking for by authors like Alex Jones, Ron Paul, and G. Edward Griffin. They even stock Interfood, Berkey products, and Calbin soaps.
There's no way a place like that exists.
Go check it out for yourself. It's downtown at 1904 Guadalupe Street, just south of UT.
By UT? There's never anywhere to park down there.
Actually, they now offer a free hour of parking for paying customers at the 500 MLK parking facility, just behind the bookstore.
It does exist. But when are they open?
Monday through Saturday, 11 a.m. to 9 p.m. and 1 to 6 p.m. on Sundays. So give them a call at 512-480-2503 or check out their events page at bravenewbookstore.com.
Live Free Speech Radio, LogosRadioNetwork.com.
She said she learned the hard way. Said she wanna spare the children. She said don't give a say your soul away, 'cause all that you have is your soul. So don't be tempted by the shiny apple. Don't you eat of a bitter fruit. Hunger only for a taste of justice. Hunger only for a world of truth. 'Cause all that you have is your soul.
Welcome back. You're with Truth News Radio. My guest today is Ian Crane, who's about to embark on a speaking tour of Australia and New Zealand. And you can get all that information from his website, ianrcrane.com. And I'd like to get into more about what Ian will be actually saying while he's in Australia. But just to finish off there, what we were talking about the BBC and these conspiracy road trip movies where they attempt to essentially take a group of young, impressionable conspiracy theorists and basically change their mind through exposing them to the true experts and the true information, and you as the audience sit back and you are passively kind of inducted into the reverse engineering or re-engineering of the correct thought processes for a model citizen. But when we see this, when we see the media engaging in this type of behavior, I mean, this is like North Korea, or this is like your worst parody of some kind of pure totalitarianism. I mean, is that the way it comes across to you, Ian?
Oh, no, absolutely. And I mean, we shouldn't be at all surprised that the establishment are fighting this. And it is a rearguard action because, as we know, Harrywood, that once people see through the construct, there's no going back. I mean, this is the other thing. I mean, Charlie Veach must be the only individual on the planet that has ever claimed to see through the official version and then actually return to a belief in it.
Yeah.
Because for the vast majority of people, once they see the first crack in any of the official versions, then immediately they start to question everything else. And they very quickly see, just like I did in 1991, that actually everything you thought you believed, everything you held dear, was a lie. And, You know, you have to go through the very difficult process of, one, accepting that you were living a lie and living within a lie, and then accepting the fact that you've got to go through the process of re-education. And we see right now with Australia, well, we'll talk about this in a second.
Sure.
But, you know, many Australians still believe that they've escaped the global financial collapse. And yet, you know, elsewhere in the world, there's a degree of desperation by the establishment to hang on to their established financial system, when at least one country, Iceland, has already managed to find a way through it and by stepping outside of the central banking system. And in every other aspect of, you know, this, and you said it at the start, the global hegemony. I mean, and Australia is buying into that in ways, you know, where U.S. Military are establishing bases in the Darwin area. So Australia gets caught up in this, this construct as much as everyone else, even though they think at the moment that they've been, to some extent, protected from it.
And this global hegemony involves this collusion between hugely powerful corporations, mega corporations, and government. And it often is driven by just what you'd call a profit motive. They think they can make money out of something. They will. But that often involves trampling on people's rights, trampling on people's health. And, of course, you will be speaking while you're in Australia on one such subject, which is, of course, coal seam gas mining, where the powers that be have decided to grant carte blanche to gas mining companies to come into rural areas, into private land, and to just basically sink their wells. And because of loopholes in the law and landhold titles that don't actually include any rights to the subsoil, basically many landholding people do not actually own anything under the ground, a few inches below the ground. The government actually claims the right to allow these concessions to gas mining companies to just come in on their property. And the environmental effects are horrendous. But then, of course, this is also being promoted as an environmental alternative to the wickedness of coal, pure black coal, because that's bad because of so-called carbon dioxide emissions. I mean, I'll let you take the floor on this, and just, I mean, I just find this whole thing just so ridiculous. More than anything else, is that they've used an environmental platform to launch an environmentally catastrophic program.
Well, you're absolutely right. And of course, everything is inextricably interlinked. I mean, when Lloyd Blankfein, who is the chief executive officer of Goldman Sachs, says he's good doing God's work, it's not any God that you might relate to or I might relate to. And in reality, his God is probably gold, oil and diamonds.
Yeah.
Which, of course, is effectively the Rockefeller. Well, in that order, gold is the Rothschilds. Oil is the Rockefellers, and diamonds, of course, is the Oppenheimers. And everybody in the extraction community is subordinate to one of those three in one way, shape, or form.
Yeah.
I mean, it's very interesting. I don't know whether it got much publicity in Australia, but Gina Rinehart, who, of course, is regarded as the richest woman in the world.
Yeah.
But she had a message for Australians, and she said, becoming rich is as easy as putting down that beer and getting off your ass. And this was in Australian, it was in a column that she was writing in Australian Resources magazine. And she says, if you're jealous of those who with more money, don't just sit there and complain. Do something to make more money yourself. Spend less time drinking or smoking and socializing and more time working. Well, she seems to have omitted to sort of mention, of course, that her wealth actually came from the efforts of her father.
Yeah.
You know, who died in, 20 years ago, actually, in 1992. And he left her some $75 million to play with. So, you know, it's a bit rich that that Gina Rinehart, who, in my opinion, based on my research, was one of the players who was behind the removal of Kevin Rudd and the placing of Julia Gillard into the Prime Minister's office.
Right. Yeah, now, that's interesting. Yep.
But I should be talking, you know, more about that and the links about that when I'm over in Australia. But you know, obviously, she's not into the oil or the gas industry. But you know, she's one of the key players in what I call the extraction community. Now, the issue that I'm particularly going to be addressing, of course, in the on the East Coast in my events in Noosa and Gold Coast, Brisbane, and down in Byron Bay, we're going to be looking specifically at the issue related to the fracking. And of course, fracking is the method by which the coal seam gas is extracted. And I don't know how much information, I doubt very much information is being put into the mainstream media, because it just wouldn't be in the interests of the government or the oil companies, the gas companies, to expose this information. But the reality is that, you know, in the first instance, we are locked in to a global hydrocarbons construct. This is why the gold, the oil, and the diamonds, you know, are very, very important to the global establishment, because in the first instance, of course, we have the fractional reserve banking system with central banks. So it's the bankers that have the responsibility for the control of the economy and, of course, the issuance of money. Once the money is issued into an economy, then obviously it not only has to be repaid in terms of the loan capital, it has to be repaid with interest. And one of the most effective ways in which governments have of clawing money back from their citizens is not just income tax, but it's with hydrocarbons. And right throughout the developed world, the amount of tax on hydrocarbons is absolutely unbelievable. I mean, how much I can work it out. How much are you paying for a liter of gasoline at the moment in Australia?
Look, I don't drive, Ian, and I haven't driven for quite a few years. But as I understand, look, the last time I checked, you know, it varies a bit. I may be wrong. It may be around $1.50 a liter, or it may be.
Okay. Yeah. Well, I can tell you that $1.50 a liter. Okay, close on a dollar of that is tax.
Wow.
And so consequently, you know, what the media perpetrates is the mythology that the price of gasoline and diesel is so high because the oil companies are ripping everybody off. Now, as it happens, you know, we can work out whether oil is cheap or not by looking at its relationship to the price of gold.
We'll just have to leave it there. We're going to break. We'll be right back talking to Ian Crane. Really, really interesting discussion. So please stay with us. You're with Truth News Radio Australia.
The Oklahoma City bombing. Top 10 reasons to question the official story. Reason number 2. Why was the ATF AWOL? Paramedic Tiffany Bible, who was on the scene within 5 minutes, has stated in an affidavit that agents of the Bureau of Alcohol, Tobacco, and Firearms told her that they were not in their office that morning. EMT Catherine Mallett also overheard one agent say to another, quote, "Is that why we got the page to not come in today?" End quote. Bruce Shaw, as interviewed on KFOR-TV, was also told by ATF agents that they had been paged to not come into work. The ATF initially denied these claims and now variously claim that one of their agents was in a free-falling elevator, which has been disproven, or that they had been in an all-night stakeout, or that they had been at a golf tournament. As they try to sort out their lies, all we want to know is, did the ATF receive a warning, and if so, why did they not pass it on to others in the Murrah Valley? For more information, go to OKCBombingTruth.com.
Are you the plaintiff or defendant in a lawsuit? Win your case without an attorney with JurisDictionary, the affordable, easy-to-understand 4-CD course that will show you how in 24 hours, step by step. If you have a lawyer, know what your lawyer should be doing. If you don't have a lawyer, know what you should do for yourself. Thousands have won with our step-by-step course, and now you can too. Jurisdictionary was created by a licensed attorney with 22 years of case-winning experience. Even if you're not in a lawsuit, you can learn what everyone should understand about the principles and practices that control our American courts. You'll receive our audio classroom, video seminar, tutorials, forms for civil cases, pro se tactics, and much more. Please visit ruleoflawradio.com and click on the banner or call toll-free 866-LAW-EASY.
Seems to me like they want us to be afraid, man. Or maybe we just like being afraid. Maybe we just so used to it at this point that it's just a part of us, part of our culture. Security alert on orange. It's been on orange since 01, G. I mean, what's up, man? Can a brother get yellow, man? Just for like 2 months or something? Goddamn. Sick of that. Mic check. The groove is thick, so I'ma rhyme like a lunatic. I do this shit with an unassuming wit. The corporation conjured up the bass and the tempo. My name is Liv, that's the intro, now let's go. The flow of life throwing strife.
Welcome back, you with Truth News. Talking to Ian Crane about geopolitics, the fracking industry, and the suppression of information. Ian, please continue there where you left off. I mean, you were getting into some of the details there about the way the whole system works. And, of course, you will be lecturing on this subject around Australia. You'll be starting off on the East Coast, I believe, and then moving to Perth and a few other destinations around Australia.
Yeah, that's right. I started in Perth and moved to the east of the country.
The other way around, sorry. Yeah.
Yeah, the other way around. So I'll actually be in Perth on the 27th and 28th of October. And then everything sort of extends from that point. And I mean, in Perth, I'm going to be obviously focusing more on, you know, the mining activity and particularly the increasing influence of Chinese companies in the mining activity of Western Australia. And then when I get across to the east, we're going to be obviously looking a little bit more about the fracking operation, because, you know, what is happening is that the hydrocarbons industry it has an infrastructure, has a global infrastructure that currently is capable of producing around about 90 million barrels of oil or equivalent each day. And consequently, it needs a market to consume 90 million barrels a day. So we'll also be looking at some of the suppressed technologies. And I'm not going to be going into the sort of exotic technologies,
yeah.
But even simple ones like lean burn technology. I mean, the lean burn carburetor has been around for about 40 years. And this should give any vehicle on the road, either gasoline or diesel powered, the capability to be returning at least 100 miles to the gallon.
Incredible.
But the establishment and the oil industry do not want vehicles that return 100 miles a gallon on the market, because that would mean that people would be buying something in the region of about only a third of what they purchase today, which would mean that, first of all, there's a tremendous shortfall in tax revenues, plus a tremendous surplus of hydrocarbons, which, of course, would push the price down. So it's effectively the collusion between the oil industry, the finance industry, and their puppet governments to effectively suppress the technology so that we need to keep using them at, you know, 90 million barrels a day. And that way, everybody other than the consumer is, of course, happy. Now, the cost of oil extraction is obviously potentially increasing as we have to go into more and more hostile territories, whether that's into the Arctic or ultimately the Antarctic or further and further offshore. Well, you know, for a long time, the oil industry has known that there would come a point at which they would actually need to move away from oil and start to make much greater use of their gas. And to this extent, I mean, the U.S. certainly has the capability to be completely self-sufficient in terms of CSG. Now, in Australia, of course, there are massive untapped CSG resources. And this is very, very attractive to the hydrocarbons industry, and, of course, I mean, potentially to governments. But let me also make the observation, by the way, that Australia is in an incredible situation with regard to the natural resource wealth, in that very, very little of that wealth is being passed down to Australian citizens. And that's evidenced by the fact that Australia has the highest level of personal debt of any nation in the developed world. So it's actually what's happening is that despite the fact that it's a very, very wealthy country,
yeah,
because of its phenomenal wealth of natural resources, that wealth is being bled by the corporations. Very little of it is going back to the people, either in terms of royalties to the government or in terms of earnings to the people. That's very, very different, say, in a country like Norway, which has used its oil wealth over 40-odd years now, and there's very, very low levels of personal debt in Norway because the government and the companies have made sure that, you know, an appropriate amount of that wealth is passed down to the citizens.
Yes, and in fact, what's happened in Australia, and I've watched this, you know, I've seen it with my own eyes, the trend has been for people's standard of living to decline over the last 20 years or so. Expectations of salaries are just going down, 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 as people's debt goes up, up, up. It's just relentless. And of course, all of this wealth that we should be getting from the exploitation of our resources is going straight offshore. And they're even bringing workers in who are very low paid, practically slave workers that they fly in from China. So we're not getting the employment benefits that we should be getting. We're just not getting any of the benefits that we should be getting from this, although some people are doing very well out of it. You know, a tiny elite, I'm sure, is doing great out of it. And I'm sure Gina Reinhart is doing just great. I mean, I do have some a bit of a soft spot for Gina Reinhart in the sense that she seems to have been willing to take the government on in regard to the carbon tax, which, of course, I'm completely opposed to because I see it as being totally fraudulent. What's your take on what I'm really interested to know from your background is what do you see the connection there between the carbon tax, the greenhouse agenda, the greenhouse fears that have been the mainstay of the green parties around the world, then feeding into the agendas of companies like Santos, which are specializing in extracting gas, that then come along and say, hey, look, we've got a solution here, which is a low carbon footprint solution. Isn't this great? And then earlier on, maybe people didn't even understand the implications of that because the Greens are very now much against coal seam gas mining. But possibly in the beginning, they didn't realize what they'd signed up to in this anti-carbon dioxide agenda that they have been pushing.
It's a very interesting point you bring up, because the reality is that Australia is the only country in the world where the people even give any credence to the whole issue of carbon tax. I mean, it's dead in the US. It's fundamentally dead in Europe. And what is ironic about this is that the Copenhagen meeting, which was scheduled, did take place in December of 2009. But the primary agenda at Copenhagen was to establish the foundations of global governance on the back of global warming and the need for the world to unite to address the whole global warming issue, i.e. Mythology that humanity was becoming the enemy of itself was being promoted through this this whole global warming agenda. But the release of the ClimateGate emails a few weeks before Copenhagen has, you know, effectively destroyed that mythology, thank goodness. And the irony is that much of the credit for the US and people in Europe realizing that that the whole carbon dioxide, global warming agenda was a construct, was down to an Australian by the name of Dr. John P. Costella, who's a PhD physicist. And he produced a document in he's done a few drafts of it or a few updates of it since, but he initially produced it very early in 2010. And in that document, it's called the Climate Gate Analysis. And in that document, you don't even need to get beyond page 20 to see from the extracts of the emails that he's selected that the whole thing was, once again, academia prostituting itself in return for large amounts of funding. And, of course, it was prostituting itself because to get the funding, and all they had to do in return was lie.
Yeah.
And sell this mythology to the world that the planet was in danger of overheating. Now, so consequently, carbon taxes are dead and buried in the US and in Europe. But in Australia, for whatever reason, there is still some traction for this. And the purpose of the World Bank, World Trade Organization, is to introduce it somewhere, because if they can introduce it somewhere, like Australia, even, you know, surreptitiously, without the rest of the world being aware of it, then ultimately they will go for harmonization. And then they'll try and push it in around the rest of the planet. The ultimate objective from 2009 was that by the beginning of next year, the petrodollar would be partially replaced by a global carbon trading scheme. And by the way, if that had come about, Al Gore would have become a trillionaire. So call it a hunch, but, you know, he had enormous monetary motivations to be pumping out his BS. What was it called? What was his film called? I mean, it was so long ago now.
The Convenient Untruth, yes.
That's right, yeah, The Convenient Untruth, yes. Well, of course, Al Gore has effectively gone out to pasture because he realizes that there's no way he can trot that BS out anywhere in the US or Europe. It's completely shot. But in Australia, there's still a bunch of people, and particularly amongst the Greens, who are buying into it. But the Greens are now beginning to realize that the mythology that was presented by the hydrocarbons industry, that coal seam gas was a clean option, and they're starting to realize now that that is another fundamental lie. And in fact, that the methane from the coal seam gas is actually far worse for the environment than even burning coal.
Well, I really hope, Ian, that some Greens turn up to your lectures, because you could really help to bring together some of these disparate parts of our community, because I assure you there is a massive movement against the carbon tax in Australia, and the Greens represent a minority, but they're a very powerful and influential minority, which has a lot of cachet with the government, obviously, having a lot of seats. We are now at the end of the hour. It's been absolutely awesome having you on. I hope to speak to you again sometime soon, Ian Crane. That's over and out from Truth News Radio Australia. We'll be back next week.
Would you like to make more definite progress in your walk with God? Bibles for America is offering a free study Bible and a set of free Christian books that can really help. The New Testament Recovery Version is one of the most comprehensive study Bibles available today. It's an accurate translation, and it contains thousands of footnotes that will help you to know God and to know the meaning of life. The free books are a three-volume set called Basic Elements of the Christian Life. Chapter by chapter, Basic Elements of the Christian Life clearly presents God's plan of salvation, growing in Christ, and how to build up the church. To order your free New Testament Recovery Version and Basic Elements of the Christian Life, call Bibles for America toll-free at 888-551-0102. That's 888-551-0102. Or visit us online at bfa.org.
Looking for some truth? You found it. LogosRadioNetwork.com.